Name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. During college, I went to study abroad at Oxford. I studied Irish literature there and fell in love with it. So when classes were over, I spent some time backpacking around the countryside of Ireland, taking in the landscape and the culture, and learning how, for the Celts, those two things are beautifully intertwined. This is where I first encountered Celtic spirituality, and it has resonated with me ever since. Celtic spirituality is older than the Christian influence in Ireland. There is an inherent earthiness to it, and yet a grand and awe-inspiring wonder at the same time. The Celts talk about thin places, where you can almost feel the realm of God and our mundane, natural world begin to touch, to overlap, and then to coalesce and become one. They see God in all things in a way that makes the world thoroughly enchanted. So when St. Patrick brought them the story of God becoming human in Jesus Christ, being born in a lowly, dirty stable, living and interacting with people and animals alike in our world, it seemed to fit with what they already knew of both God and the world around them. But for a college student coming from a scientific, mechanized, modern world, it was wonderfully new and a fun way of experiencing everything around me afresh. I remember that all over the countryside, there were these stones set up as doorways. Two vertical ones and one flat horizontal slab across the top. Like Stonehenge, only smaller and more rustic. I asked about them, and a local man told me that they were in fact doorways, portals between the worlds, he said. They were entrances that people could go through to interact with the divine. When you went through them, your eyes were opened to all the miraculous, holy things that were present all around you. People had set them up to mark places where they experienced a thin place. We all have those times in our lives when the spaces between heaven and earth seem to get really thin. When it's like we can see God's glory because God has reached down and picked us up. For many of us, Christmas is the time when that becomes most real. When we experience the divine present and at work in our own world. We all have holiday rituals because Christmas has been a time where we have experienced the wonder of love, been overflowing with joy, known the miraculous, and really believed. We've seen the awe in a little child's eyes when they spy the presence that seemingly appeared overnight like a miracle. And so we stay up late in the dark morning hours, setting things up just right for it to happen again. We've known the incomparable love of close family and friends at the holidays. So we do what we can to recreate the exact same traditions with the family and send out Christmas cards to every possible friend to rekindle those bonds of loving friendship. We have stood in wonder at the beauty of the lights and the decorations in our homes and been filled with hope that this year will be beautiful and wonderful. And so we go to painstaking lengths to replicate the splendor around our houses. We set up the rituals because we want it to happen again, to know peace, hope, love, and wonder in the things and moments of our everyday lives. And we know that Christmas is a time when it can happen. But the truth of the Christmas story is that it changed things fundamentally and forever. It makes those times possible all the time. And says they do not rely on your preparation, but God's wonderful gift of coming into the world and inhabiting all flesh, living in even the lowliest of abodes. You just have to step through the door and see it. That stable doorway in the Christmas story that led to the manger where the baby Jesus lay was like a Celtic stone portal. When someone walked through it, they saw the holy in the mundane. They knew God was at work in the most basic things of this world. And everything was different after that. When the shepherds walked in, they knew that the message of the angels was true. There could be peace on earth and goodwill toward all people. Christmas morning is the moment when the world changed, when everything became thoroughly enchanted. The space between the imminent and the transcendent collapsed. This is the moment when time itself changed and began brimming with potential. Everything before Christmas Day was before Christ, and all after it would be seen as this new era. The common era, some call it. It's the era in which God's future and human future were bound forever in common. That meant that the place hadn't just become thin. God had actually broken through, and it has consequences for everything in life. God set up a kingdom in opposition to Caesar's. Augustus wanted all people to be counted so that they could be taxed. But God is sending out a decree of good news. God is counting all people so that they can be blessed, so that they can know the wonder of the divine in their own lives. In the midst of a world of takers, God was done taking. God was offering God's own self, filling the things of this world with the presence of the infinite. God gave a gift, all wrapped in swaddling cloths, and it was eternity in flesh and blood, right in our midst. And in this reality, a stable could be God's house and a manger God's bed. The animals could know things about the presence of God, and the stars could proclaim the miracle of the moment. It was a world imbued with spirit, with holiness, with eternal significance. A baby could hold the wisdom of the ages. The power of the angels wasn't to be feared. The ordinary lowliness of shepherds would make their testimony far-reaching and long-lasting, because if they could know it, then we can know it. The miracle didn't rely on human preparations. In fact, there were none. Bethlehem was Joseph's home, but his family couldn't find a place. No extended family, no friends, no local businessmen that knew him. They were exhausted from the travel, aching from the sleeping conditions, and still had work to do. They had made it to the town, but they still needed to stand in line and register. But on this morning, there was peace in spite of all that. There were new friends, the shepherds, who shared their food, and the reality of love was known between them. This was the morning that the world would tell about when people longed to hear the story of hope again. For many of us, the preparations have been intense, stressful, and even exhausting. But we do it in search of a peaceful morning. The familiarity of certain traditions, and that feeling of repeatable joy we get on Christmas Day. We've been just barely keeping our heads above water, but today the water recedes. We look down, and there is the gift. This morning, Jesus calls us through the doorway like those first shepherds. Jesus invites us in to see God present in the moment, inhabiting our world with us, and to know that this is not just for today, but for all future days. May you know this truth. May this be the gift of Christmas to you, and may it fill you with love, joy, hope, and peace. Merry Christmas, and Amen.